gentlemen. Today is September 18th, 2022. Chris Snyder here with you on Liberation Station Radio Show. The site is theliberationstation.com. And the chat room is on the listen/archives page on the site, theliberationstation.com. I'm not able to connect on Facebook today on the Facebook Live computer, so unfortunately, that's going to have to be posted after the show, right after the show, so you can watch along with all the video, the data, the graphs, whatever happens to be shown on the screen. The articles from which I read are on screen, so that's being recorded and will be posted within an hour after the show on the Facebook page for Republic Broadcasting Network, facebook.com/republicbroadcasting, and originating at facebook.com/wearechangedtampa, where normally I stream live. And streamed live the second hour of the National Intel Report this past Wednesday. I'm honored to have done on September 14th with Richard Gage, the pre-record in the first hour, as he was originally aired on this show last week, in the first hour on Sunday, September 11th. Unfortunately, he couldn't have been with us live, so we got that audience reaction. And I am paying attention to the chat room, fortunately. And I think my mind is a little bit more at ease today now that it's gotten cooler. Autumn has fallen, I think, here in Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, so I feel a lot more relaxed and not having to worry also about Facebook to try to cut me off half the time. Pay attention to do my own video production during the show. If you'd like to call in, the numbers are 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And we're going to get into play a clip from the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, where he outlines a lot of the successes on his September 15th edition of The High Wire at thehighwire.com. It's a clip that's only about 13 minutes long, 14 minutes long maybe, on their past victories, their future plans, and that should be some encouragement, I think, to let folks know that there is a lot of progress that we've made and much more to be done. I'm so glad to see at the Informed Consent Action Network, headed by Del Bigtree, that they're so focused and prioritized, or priorities are so principled. But first, we'll play the last edition of America's Frontline Doctors, America's Frontline News from September 16th, 2022. And want to alert you to the good news. Other good news is that Dr. Simone Gold, who heads up America's Frontline Doctors, has been released from federal prison. So glad that that's a huge relief as well for all of us. So glad for her sake and for not having to pray for extra hard as we have been for their safety, and more for her safety outside of bars, trying to get the word out. I'm sure everybody inside the jail cells are quite receptive and a good audience, but now she can tell us what it was like, and I'd like to hear what she has to say about that. But let's get that clip number one ready to play, please. If you're ready, Sam, that's the last America's Frontline News, September 16th, 2022.
I'm Mordechai Soames, and this is your weekly roundup from America's Frontline News. United States Senator from Hawaii Mazie Hirono Wednesday called for abortion sympathizers to take up arms against pro-life Americans. She made the remarks on the Senate floor. America's Frontline News' Judy Sherman has more.
If you search on Google, Congressman says to kill MAGA Republicans, you will only get results about remarks by President Biden or even Republicans being conspiracy theorists. But if you search it on a different search engine, for example, DuckDuckGo, what you'll see is that this week, a congressman named Tim Ryan said we have to kill and confront the MAGA movement. And you'll see quite a few of these results. But on Google, if you search for it, Google will not show you that this happened this week. And that's something that is becoming more and more pervasive these days. And this week was a particularly held violent rhetoric. Senator Hirono from Hawaii actually came out on the Senate floor said that people need to literally take up arms against pro-life Americans. So if you support feticide, if you're an abortion sympathizer, then you should take up literally, her words were, literally take up arms against these pro-life Americans. So they have actively called for war this week. And this should worry every American, despite what party line you're part of or any of your political views. This should matter because we've been here before, because this is something that has happened before when a regime gets up and says things like, there's a subgroup of this country that is ruining everything for us, a subgroup that is threatening us. And then other people among those regime, other officials, get up and say, we need to take up arms against them. We need to kill their, and let's say, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say, just kill the movement. This is something that really should be worrying every single American, because this week has escalated into literally violent rhetoric.
America's frontline news reporter, Yudi Sherman. A judge in Italy this week ruled against the parents of a 2-year-old boy in urgent need of heart surgery after they requested that doctors use blood transfusions from unvaccinated donors only. The father of the child asked the hospital not to use blood donated by people who had received COVID-19 injections. Italy's blood center director told local media, when it comes to transfusions, there are norms that must be followed. Thus, after a search identified 40 unvaccinated donors, the parents were told their request did not adhere to hospital blood donation criteria. A Modena judge rejected an appeal by the parents on the grounds that it was, quote, safe to use blood from vaccinated donors. Epoch Times reports over 100 parents and residents Tuesday joined a rally outside a county school board meeting in Virginia to protest the curriculum that promotes what parents called American Marxism and the policy not to disclose a student's true gender to parents. The protest was held on September 13th, marking the first anniversary of Loudoun County Public Schools adopting regulations requiring staff to deceive parents regarding students' true gender. More than half of students across all grade levels in the Los Angeles Unified School District failed to meet state testing standards in subjects like mathematics and English for the 21-22 school year, this according to Epoch Times. The district's preliminary results show that only about 42% of students met English standards, while only 28% met those for mathematics. District officials said in a statement that the results were expected due to school COVID-19 lockdowns, which they said erased 2 decades of progress in math and reading. The Daily Skeptic reports over 400 doctors, scientists, and professionals from 34 countries Saturday declared an international medical crisis due to diseases and death associated with COVID-19 vaccines. The declaration states, "We are currently witnessing an excess in mortality in those countries where the majority of the population has received the so-called COVID-19 vaccines." The doctors continued, "To date, this excess mortality has neither been sufficiently investigated nor studied by national and international health institutions." The declaration by 400 scientists and doctors goes on to say, "The large number of sudden deaths in previously healthy young people who were inoculated with these vaccines is particularly worrying, as is the high incidence of miscarriages and perinatal deaths which have not been investigated. A large number of adverse side effects, including hospitalizations, permanent disabilities, and deaths related to the so-called COVID-19 vaccines have been reported officially." The declaration lists 8 urgent demands, including an immediate stop to the vaccinations and investigation of all deaths in previously healthy people. 4 top Italian scientists have produced a review of historical climate trends and concluded that declaring a climate emergency is not supported by the data, reports the Daily Skeptic. After reviewing a wide range of weather data, the authors say a climate crisis is not evident yet. The scientists found that rainfall intensity and frequency is stationary in many parts of the world. Tropical hurricanes and cyclones show little change over the long term, and the same is true of U.S. tornadoes. Other meteorological categories, including natural disasters, floods, droughts, and ecosystem productivity, show no clear positive trend of extreme events. Regarding ecosystems, the scientists note a considerable greening of global plant biomass in recent decades caused by higher levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Satellite data show greening trends over most of the planet, increasing food yields and pushing back deserts. The petition calls to jettison naive belief in immature climate models. In the future, the authors say, climate research must give significantly more emphasis to empirical science. The scientists suggest that rather than burdening our children with anxiety about climate change, we should encourage them to think about issues like energy, food, and health, and the challenges in each area, with a more objective and constructive spirit, and not waste limited resources on costly and ineffective solutions. Meanwhile, the United Nations has warned Europe that a return to fossil fuels in response to soaring prices and winter shortages must not be considered under any circumstances. Deputy UN Human Rights Director Nada Al-Nashif Monday told the United Nations Human Rights Council there is no room for backtracking in the face of the ongoing climate crisis. Al-Nashif claimed that floods affecting more than 33 million people in Pakistan are an example of what will happen to the world's climate if there is a return to fossil fuels. And Breitbart News reported a joint paper released in January last year by the U.S.-based Global Energy Monitor and Helsinki-based Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air found China built over three times as much coal-fired electrical power capacity in 2020 as the rest of the world combined. Attorney Leslie McAdoo Gordon Saturday announced she will no longer litigate cases in court due to what she called the corrupt criminal and federal justice systems. McAdoo Gordon defends individuals and contractors against the federal government. Her specialty areas include criminal defense, security clearances, federal employee discipline and removal, debarment of contractors, criminal inspector general and congressional investigations, expungements, and attorney discipline. But after 26 years of litigating such cases in court, McAdoo Gordon says she is retiring from the active practice of law in the courts. I will no longer be representing clients in litigation matters or defending investigations. I am done being a working litigator. Formerly special agent for the Department of Defense, McAdoo Gordon said, "After 26 years, I have come to an inescapable conclusion. There is no justice to be had in our justice system." She concluded, "I am no longer willing to participate in a system that I consider to be a total farce." For more top news and analysis, go to our website at americasfrontlinenews.com. You've been listening to Mordechai Sohn's and America's Frontline Doctors Frontline News.
And we're back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner with you. And we just had a correction from Art in Georgia in the chat room. And I'll have to look into when I have the time here to find the actual video that Art was correcting that Representative Tim Ryan said to kill MAGA Republicans, according to the reports that I'm trying to verify. I guess that the distinction is from what America's Frontline Doctors was reporting to the call was supposedly to kill abortion rights activists. Those were pro-life. So that's something we'll have to look into during the break some more. And during the break, I was also doing some other, I'm always doing other work. During the playback, I'm always reading and researching and just found that Dr. Simone Gold did an interview on Daystar TV, Daystar.com. That was, I think that was yesterday, September 16th, so 2 days ago, September 16th, 2022, daystar.com/watch/live-stream. I'm not sure if that's where it can still be found, but pretty sure you can find the archives for Daystar TV, Daystar.com, and want to see what she has to say about her stay in jail and how she was falsely railroaded and accepted the plea deal to get there. So let's next, well, I guess I could comment on the learning loss that was also mentioned. I was just looking up the article on that. Learning loss that was mentioned in the America's Frontline Doctor report from just 2 days ago, September 16th. Yahoo News is where I came across it, and that's what I will cite. It's about to go up on the screen for those who are watching the recording. Entitled Learning Loss Was Steepest in School Districts That Stayed Remote Longest, says study by Alexander Nazarian in Yahoo News, September 15th, 2022, just 3 days ago. And trying to get that ready to go up on the screen because Yahoo is prone to pop a lot of pop-ups on the screen that slow things down and block the view. So let's see if we can get going with the article. And here we go. Washington, districts where schools stayed remote longer experienced more significant learning loss, but some of those losses are being reversed by states through effective teaching strategies. Those are the results that, once dismaying and hopeful, from a 10-state district-by-district analysis conducted by Brown University economist Emily Oster as part of her long-standing effort to chronicle the pandemic's deleterious impact on education. And it links to the New York Times article on that. It'll show up on screen. I think I might have to adjust my camera settings. I'm having to record this, as I mentioned, and because I want this to show up on screen. Well, let me go ahead and see if I can adjust a couple things. Sorry to the audio listeners. Usually the Facebook camera is just fine, but the Skype camera is a little bit washed out, so I won't take too much longer on this. And get right back to the article. This is embarrassing, folks, I know. I just want to try to do the best I can. I don't think I can, though. So I don't think I can do much better than I have, and I have to go on with the show. Some of those losses are being reversed by states through effective teaching strategies. Those are the results, at once dismaying and hopeful, from the 10-state district-by-district analysis conducted by Brown University economist Emily Oster as part of her long-standing effort to chronicle the pandemic's deleterious impact on education. That's from June 22, 2021, in the New York Times. Just picking up there. Quote, it seems clear that there are opportunities to learn, especially about recovery, end quote, Oster told Yahoo News. Quote, the losses are what they are, and I think the lesson of not moving to remote learning is widely accepted, but what works for recovery is really open. Her analysis found, for example, that Mississippi has emerged as a surprising leader in recouping gains in reading, while Minnesota has struggled to catch students up, and learning reclamation was uniformly progressing more slowly in math than in reading. Quote, there are many more questions, which is frustrating, but also argues for more work, end quote, Oster told Yahoo News. A study Oster and colleagues published last year showed highly significant learning loss due to remote learning. And I've mentioned that on the show before. Wednesday's findings, and now the article decides to move on to the next one, which I was hoping would open in a new window. So Yahoo needs a lot of tuning on their website here. I'm going to read this online. Continuing the article. Wednesday's findings confirm and add to that work, validating at least in part the fears of parents and politicians who urge schools to reopen as quickly as possible. The effects of those decisions are becoming clear as standardized tests like the National Assessment of Educational Progress, or NAEP, have shown that entire decades of progress have been reversed since schools shut down in the spring of 2020. The public release of NAEP scores for 9-year-olds led to bitter recrimination over who is to blame, and more importantly, how those losses can be reversed. Much of the blame has fallen on to teachers' unions, which have been criticized, and fairly many educators say, for wanting to keep schools closed. Public education can always be strengthened, American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten acknowledged in a recent conversation with Yahoo News. Quote, and we always have to work on strengthening it, end quote. And I'll try to show on the screen, this graph is the Mississippi average change in academic proficiency. And I don't think that's going to show up on the screen, so I don't think I'll even bother trying to point out, but it's for the radio listeners, I'll just say it's the proficiency is maybe less than a fifth of what it was, and in some cases it's in the negatives. And if folks want to check out that graph, they can over at this article. It's just the changes are so dramatic. And I think I'm going to cut it off there and move on, for the sake of time, to clip number two. Sam, there in the control room, this is a clip we're going to have to cut in two due to the commercial coming up, unless we have one coming up. This is from... Thanks, Sam. All right. And we're skipping that commercial. I'm not sure if that went out over the air. And, okay, we'll start out then with some good news from the last edition, September 15th, 2022, of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, where he outlines a lot of the... Well, first of all, he outlines how they're now suing for vSafe data, which is even better than the VAERS data, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System data. And he's going to then outline past victories and their future plans for the Informed Consent Action Network. That's at icandecide.org. And the High Wire with Del Bigtree is every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, at thehighwire.com, rumble.com, and several other live video streaming platforms. So check that out. And that's one of those must-listen-to talk shows, radio, TV shows that I think folks could really put on a business card or write on dollar bills, perhaps. Monopoly money. I'm sorry, I didn't mean dollar bills. I mean Monopoly money. That's legal, right? So write those websites like icandecide.org, thehighwire.com, my website, if you like, theliberationstation.com, any site like republicbroadcasting.org, and donate to us. And this is donate to Republic Broadcasting as much as you can. We're one of those few communities out there who is so vital, so necessary, and I'm so cutting edge. And has attracted so many like-minded people who contribute so much to it. So it's more than a professionally run radio station, radio network. It's a community, including the callers. So that is another reason Del Bigtree goes on through this outlining of past victories, future plans, trying to prioritize what they should be. But I'm cut short some of that asking for money, but... I couldn't edit out everything here, so I'm not going to edit all that out, because it is I Can Decide and The High Wire do merit whatever you can donate, promote them as much as possible. So this is just going to be, we have just about 6 minutes left. This clip is just about 14 minutes, so we'll get started on this from this last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree.
Huge victory this week. For many of you that know, one of the things that Informed Consent Action Network does, which is our nonprofit that makes this show possible, is we have a powerful legal team run by Aaron Seary and his staff of some of the greatest lawyers in the country, fighting for our rights, fighting against vaccine mandates. And one of the things we've been fighting for is transparency. Now, many of us know about the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. That's the public system that you can report your vaccine injury too. But every time it's addressed, every time we've looked at these numbers that have been off the charts, the deaths are the highest of reports. Here it is that we've ever seen 30,000 deaths and 30,796 reported deaths from this vaccine alone. We've never seen numbers like that, just exponentially worse than any vaccine we've ever seen. The hospitalizations, the anaphylaxis, the hospital visits, there it is. But when you bring up VAERS, they'll say, well, VAERS is a passive reported system. You know, people can report themselves, that we've shown you basically that's rarely ever how it's done. But they poo-poo VAERS. They want us to think, well, it's underreported. Instead, they've been talking about this vSafe program that they started just for COVID. This was, once you get the vaccine, go ahead and sign up to the vSafe system so we can track your health. And this is directly through the CDC. This is supposed to be where they're looking for all of their information. And once again, like everything else, we FOIA'd. We used Freedom of Information Act requests. We used our legal team and said, we want to see the data that you've now collected in vSafe. And they came back. They said, we're not going to give it to you. On behalf of ICANN, please provide the following records via email. Produce all data submitted to BeSafe and subsequently de-identified by the CDC and or Oracle, which is the system that they're using from January 1st, 2020 forward. All documents concerning safe data, including but not limited to policies, procedures, processes related to BeSafe and communications regarding same, all de-identified data submitted to BeSafe since January 1st, 2020. I have to tell you that when you're fighting these cases, they'll come back and say, well, we can't give up the identity of these people, which is why we can't share it with the public and other scientists. And our legal team called baloney on that and said, by the way, that data has already been de-identified because we're seeing studies being done on it from different regulatory agencies and others. So you've already done that work. You've already separated out the identities. So there's no information that can go against any person in this country. Hand it over now. And under court order, that has finally taken place. Our lawyers at ICANN are now have gotten a court order that BeSafe data, the tens of millions of people and their information that is in there, is now going to be coming to us. So again, here it is. This is the legal update. It was sent to you. You would know about it if you were on our email list. All you have to do is be on our email list, sign up at our website right now, and you will be the first one to have all this data in your inbox so you can look at it yourself or pass it off to your local epidemiologist or doctor friend. This is what we're doing. We are bringing transparency. We're not just, you know, reporting on the news. We're making news. We're stepping up and we're making a difference, which is what makes this show more unique than anything else that I think you've watched. Let me just talk about, since, you know, we haven't done this for a while, I want to go through all of the different things that we fought for. And this is just an idea of many. We have so many cases running, but around the country, we've been fighting for you. So I want to thank my legal team for handing this over. I said, could you guys give us just a rundown of many of the cases that we've had so I can show the people? So here it is. In the United States of America, if this is where you live, the ICANN legal wins across the country. Here's one. New Jersey, ICANN supported a challenge to successfully take down the mask mandate in Newark School District, the largest in the state. That happened September 9th, just a few days ago. New Jersey, you don't have to worry about. The mask mandate is down, especially in Newark. We took it down. You're welcome. Massachusetts, ICANN successfully forced Massachusetts Department of Public Health to repeal their flu shot mandate to attend preschool, primary school, secondary school, or a post-secondary institution. That happened back in January of 2021. New York, ICANN challenged approximately 100 summonses issued to residents in New York City after they did not comply with an MMR mandate for all people. It was really targeted on the Hasidic Jewish community, 6 months of age and older. They were literally arresting people in the streets. I really came out against that. Our attorneys also are in court now challenging the healthcare COVID vaccine mandate. But we funded those cases fighting for the rights of those 100 people that receive citations. And so that's part of what we do. Pennsylvania, and ICANN supported a lawsuit. A large company withdrew its COVID-19 vaccine mandate after the lawsuit was filed. There's a huge company, lots of employees. You didn't get a mandate because we brought our lawyers to the case. Washington, D.C., this was huge. ICANN was successful in striking down their law that allowed doctors to vaccinate children ages 11 years and older without parental consent. We've talked about it a lot. That was March 18th. 2022, maybe the biggest win we've had yet. Michigan, ICANN successfully had the state health department remove more than once misinformation it posted regarding COVID vaccines. We would see them lying to the public, posting on their own health administration websites, and we sent in our legal team, said, you're lying, we will sue you if you don't take it down immediately. Ohio, ICANN supported the legal representation of Maddie DeGarry, who was injured in the Pfizer trials, a part of the work we've done. That story was on our show just a few weeks ago. Tennessee, ICANN supported the participation of its attorneys in a lawsuit regarding claims that vaccines do not cause autism. That happened in February of 2022. Florida, ICANN successfully challenged mask violations. We also affected change in University of Miami's meningitis vaccine waivers process. That was on May 6th of 21. Texas, ICANN's legal team supported a successful effort to shed light and prevent the practice of hospital use of plastic drapes over patients' heads. This literally happened. They were covering people in plastic in hospitals. We got that call and we said, not only are we going to do a show about this, send our lawyers in immediately and stop the destruction of humanity that's taking place, and we won.
And we'll be right back here on Liberation Station Radio Show to pick it up where we left off. Chris Steiner here with you. That was the last from the last edition of The High Wire with Bill Bigtree, outlining a lot of the great successes and future plans to prioritize We'll be right back. Because the FDA said it's safe for me.
The drug companies claim that it's made for me. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turned around. I see a glimpse of a recognition, but it's too little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake.
It is sweet, and that's what we're outlining today, is the victories from Informed Consent Action Network. You're just hearing the full-length bumper music of Anastasia's Army of Me. I just thought I'd let that play because it's so appropriate for this segment that Del Bigtree is outlining from the last edition of The High Wire on September 15th at thehighwire.com, his weekly show on the victories of Informed Consent Action Network at ICanDecide.org and their future plans he'll summarize with. So let's get back to that clip if you got it ready to go. I'm not sure what time index, 119.26 maybe, or I'm not sure right about where you left off, Sam, but go right ahead and play and I'll synchronize.
Arizona, ICANN's legal team successfully had the state's largest county health department remove its false advertising campaign from YouTube about COVID vaccines. Once again, called out their health department for lying, sent in our legal team. California, ICANN is successfully challenging San Diego School District COVID-19 vaccine requirements. That's an ongoing case. We win it. They keep coming back. I assure you, that is all but done. We keep fighting that, and we're going to bring any other case that we have to in the Republic of California. So that's just an idea of what we've done as far as the states. Then as the entire nation is concerned, we've been fighting federal cases for everybody in this country. ICANN legal wins include FDA and Pfizer. ICANN forced the FDA to release the full ingredients list of the Pfizer vaccine. They were trying to hold back on that. ICANN funded a challenge to the federal COVID-19 vaccine mandate for companies with over 100 employees all the way to the Supreme Court. ICANN sued the CDC to produce the study supporting that the vaccine given during the first years of life do not cause autism. And notably, it was not able to produce a single relevant study. We showed the world that when they say vaccines don't cause autism, they can't prove that statement. On their website, they're lying to us as we speak. ICANN has forced the CDC to admit the following. One, it does not have a shred of proof that COVID vaccines do not create or cause variants of SARS-CoV-2. Despite its claiming this, the whole Geert, Vanden, Bosch discussion, we reached out. They can't prove that's not happening. Two, it has never conducted vaccinated versus unvaccinated study, including using historical data. They're not even doing a retrospective study of the millions of people that are in their own database that are vaccinated, unvaccinated, doing a simple comparative study. You know why they're not doing it. They know how that'll turn out. Number three, it has never documented a single case of hepatitis B transmission in a school setting. They're giving that vaccine to your baby the day they're born, and they've never proved that a kid is giving it to another kid in school, yet you have to have it to go to school. And number four, it has no documents to support its claim that COVID-19 vaccines do not change or interact with your DNA in any way. They'll tell you it doesn't affect your DNA, but they have zero science to prove it. This is an idea of what we're doing. And then when we think of the world, one of the big cases we've had for quite some time now is involving UNICEF. ICANN has been formally engaging with UNICEF and world bodies on the clear science that DTP, the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, is killing more children than it saves and engaging countries that still use this product. It is still what is killing children in almost all the third world. It is the most popular vaccine being used by UNICEF. They must stop, and we're bringing international cases to make that happen. I say all of this because I need your help now. You are watching this great show. You're watching the great guests that we have coming here, and we have our legal team 24/7 working, but we need more help. As I've told you, we've rocked Goliath here. We have won this battle. They're in retreat, but we have to bring all the might of the courts with us right now, and there are so many cases right now ready to go that I personally can't pull the trigger on it because we're not raising enough funds yet. I want to thank you for all that's been achieved, all of you donors that are out there that have made all of those lawsuits possible and seen your children, you know, getting to have freedom and yourselves having freedom because of it, but there's so much more that needs to be done. Let me show you. I asked our legal teams, what are the cases we really want to launch right now and we can't? And maybe you can help. Maybe you can't. I don't know. But let me go ahead and share these with you right now. The lawsuits we want to file as of Monday, if you said, you know what, I'm going to throw a few dollars your way. Lawsuit challenge the government organ transplant system. Refusal to honor religious exemption to COVID-19 vaccines. If you need a transplant, we want to fight for you. There's big cases out there. They're going to be expensive. Might go to the Supreme Court. Help us do that. Number two, litigation against the Army to challenge the systemic discrimination of those members who have religious objections to receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. We've been successful with the Air Force case. We want to bring that same case to the Army. Huge case. Help us do that. Number three, lawsuit seeking to sue Pfizer for willful misconduct in the clinical trial for its COVID-19 vaccine. At the center of that, Maddie DeGuerra Terry and others, where Pfizer's lied about the injuries to people that were in their own trials. We want to take that all the way to the Supreme Court. Number four, lawsuit challenging the requirement that non-citizens have a COVID-19 vaccine to enter the United States. We're going to be too late to save you, Djokovic, but everybody else out there that wants to see someone come into this country, just like now, even COVID zero, New Zealand's going to allow. We're going to fight for that. Number five, lawsuit challenging the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for participation in extracurricular activities in New York City. And then very quickly, lawsuit challenging restrictions on what California doctors can tell their patients about COVID. I'm talking about AB2098 that seriously wants to investigate any doctor that told the truth through COVID. We want to fight for them. Number seven, lawsuit challenges the constitutionality of the CICP. This is the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which is the only place someone injured by a COVID vaccine can currently file a claim. It's a sham. They don't have enough money. They're not using it. You don't get a jury. We want to change that. Help us do that. Advocacy around the few schools that still have mask requirements or policies. We're coming after them. Lawsuits challenging laws in other states, as we did in D.C., that let doctors vaccinate minors without parental consent. We're going to fight every attempt at a law. We threatened California with that lawsuit, and they decided not to pass that law. And in 10, lawsuit challenging the lack of religious exemptions in certain states. This is huge. For those states that are not allowed any exemptions, especially the religious exemption, we've got a way in. We think we can return those in the courtroom. We need your help. Now, I know that seems like a lot. That isn't even, we have more cases than that running right now. We have lawyers round the clock, but this is it. Are you just going to sit back in your couch and continue to watch this show, the millions of you around the world? Or are you going to say, you know what? And by the way, and you sit there and I suppose you say, I get hope from the high wire. But then deep down, you're like, I don't know if anything's going to change. I don't feel like we have any power over the government. We do have power. We've shown we have power. But you're not feeling it because you're not feeling your involvement. Do yourself a favor. Get involved right now. It's as simple as becoming a recurring donor to the work we are doing here.
Okay, and we're back here. That was the end of that clip, last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree. And I was just doing some research, prompted by Art and Georgia in the chat room, to research Representative Tim Ryan. And I want to see if Sam in the control room, you have that clip ready to play. It's clip number three that I just sent you. It's just a short little 38-second clip.
The Democrats aren't right on everything, and I'm willing to sit down and have conversations about how we can move out of this age of stupidity and into an age of reconciliation and reform. How do we fix all of these broken systems? Some of those answers will come from Republicans. It's not the extremists that we're dealing with every single day. We've got to kill and confront that movement. But that, you know, working with normal mainstream Republicans, I think that's going to be really, really important because we have to reform these systems. And I will tell them, too, like, we got to get the government out of our business. I'm all in on that. You see the Dobbs decision. You see, you know, in Florida, the Democrats aren't right on everything. And I'm willing to sit down and have conversations about how we can move out of this age of stupidity and into an age of reconciliation and reform. How do we fix all of these broken systems? Some of those answers will come from Republicans. It's not the extremists that we're dealing with every single day. We've got to kill and confront that movement. But that, you know, working with normal mainstream Republicans, I think that's going to be really, really important because we have to reform these systems. And I will tell them too, like, we got to get the government out of our business. I'm all in on that. You see the Dobbs decision. You see, so, you know, in Florida, Democrats aren't there, right on everything.
We've heard enough. All right, that's just a Twitter clip, and I'm not a, I'm certainly not in any camp. I've always been independent, and I think that's really alarming that you think you have the strength, the power, the arrogance, to stop a whole movement, to kill a whole movement, and not that I would agree with everything in the movement, but you can't call, that's how you marginalize people, is by saying that lump everybody in as part of a movement if they have a certain belief or a certain set of beliefs. Still doesn't mean that they are self-described as being part of that movement. It's just that those who say support a particular candidate, you think you're going to kill a whole segment of the population, and kill I guess, how are you going to do that? Maybe kill its leader? I mean, killing Trump? I mean, setting up a martyr? And that's something that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that were pulled off. Or, you know, I still think that Trump is deep state, and I'm not going to go into that again. But if you don't really want it to kill a movement, well, you could attack it on those same principles that the Democrats, Democratic Party, of which you're a member, Representative Ryan, you can criticize them on those same points. But you won't do that because, of course, that's not part of the script, to expose that both parties are in agreement on some of the deadliest policies, like, well, 5G, and, you know, Trump supporting signing the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2022, Public Law 116-129, March 23rd, 2020. And here's a good article from CNET.com by Marguerite Reardon, March 24th, 2020. Trump signs laws to boost 5G security, broadband availability. The two new laws are part of an effort to bring faster, more secure networks to parts of the country that need it most. And in Collective Evolution, March 29th, 2020, by Arjun Walia, Donald Trump signs the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020 into law. And then on GMOs, executive order on modernizing the regulatory framework for agricultural biotechnology products, that you can find the executive order signed by Trump June 11th, 2019 at whitehouse.gov. Article by D.V. Kidd. You may have heard of her, being such a great patriot over the years, a great commentator. Article July 8th, 2019, Americans shocked, angered, Trump's latest GMO executive order. And a couple more articles on that. President Trump issues executive order directing significant changes to the regulation of genetically engineered organisms, by Thomas Brugato, Covington & Burling, LLP. That's a law firm. June 12, 2019. Lastly, Trump administration proposes easing rules on GM crops. GM Watch, June 9th, 2019. And, of course, now we have Biden doing the same thing with an executive order. See if we can... we'll have the time to comment on it in the next hour. Have a segment from another segment from the High Wire with Del Bigtree with Jeffrey Jackson. Plus, Trump expanded the NDAA. Never opposed the Patriot Act. He expanded it de facto by his wanting to indefinitely detain Adham Amin Hassoun. Trump on vaccines, even before the age of COVID, was his September 19th, 2019 executive order at whitehouse.gov, executive order on modernizing influenza vaccines in the United States to promote national security and public health. And you can see in the video on MSNBC is the one I have a reference to, but and the article on MSNBC, April 26, 2019, by Velshi and Rule, entitled Donald Trump on Measles Outbreaks, The Vaccinations Are So Important. And you can see where in that video he says people, quote, have to get their shots, end quote, and called vaccinations, quote, unquote, important. So that's some of the things that I would fault Trump on in the Democrat Party, those who pretend to oppose him, the other side of the other wing of the vulture. Won't fault him for these things, or the other side won't expose this kind of dirt, because they have the same kind of dirt. It's a good cop, bad cop, and depending on your political persuasions, supposing you have one, depends on which cop you think is the good cop and which is the bad. So, Trump never pardoned Snowden, Manning, Assange, and I found some of my other notes here. Baron Monsanto, he sides on the Environmental Working Group. Trump EPA sides with Baron Monsanto over science claims cancer-causing weed killer is safe, referring to glyphosate. And Center for Food Safety has an article, CFS statement, Trump signs executive order to further gut federal GMO oversight. NSA spying. And on the topic of that article from Electronic Frontier Foundation, January 13th, 2018. And it's entitled The State of the Union, What Wasn't Said by David Ruiz. And an excerpt from that article is, quote, make no mistake, the bill that he, Trump, who referring to Trump, eventually signed, S-139, very much affects American citizens, but that bill reauthorized Section 702, originally enacted as part of the FISA Amendments Act, a legal authority the NSA uses to justify its collection of countless Americans' emails, chat logs, and browsing history without first obtaining a warrant. The surveillance allowed under this law operates largely in the dark and violates Americans' Fourth Amendment right to privacy, end quote. That's the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which I don't think anyone would blame or accuse of being partisan. You can find more on proprivacy.com. Senate about to vote on NSA snooping powers by Ray Walsh, January 15th, 2018. Trying to alert us back then, and Reuters has an article by Elizabeth Guichen. This is the one from the New Republic. Reuters also has an article on it, I'm not sure if I have the title of that. I just have the link in front of me. But the title of this New Republic article, dated October 26, 2017, by Elizabeth Guichen, is A Chance to Control Domestic Spying, Why the Trump Era Represents a Real Opportunity to Reform the NSA Surveillance Program. And we can move on to the big banks. How did Trump treat them? Well, he didn't do anything to reform them, according to International Business Times. Showing this up on screen, Trump administration waives punishment for convicted banks, including Deutsche, which Trump owes millions, January 9th, 2018, by David Sirota. And then bump stock ban he originally supported over in the New York Times is the article. I'm not sure if I can pull that up, although I have the link, dated December 18th, 2018. And it's entitled Trump Administration Imposes Ban on Bump Stocks, December 18th, 2018, by Charlie Savage. And on red flag gun laws, the CBS News and Bearing Arms reports on it. Bearing Arms, October 25th, 2019. Sources, Trump no longer backing red flag law background check changes. So that's good that he changed his mind on that, though. It's alarming that he never had the forethought to have not supported it in the first place. And then there's a clip. We're sitting next to Dianne Feinstein, and you might play that clip sometime. If you'd like me to, give me a call or put it in the chat room that you'd like it played. It's just a quick clip where he says, you could take the guns first, go through due process second. So those are all the things on which I think Trump as deep state I've outlined more comprehensively now than I've ever done so before. I mentioned these points in the past, but I haven't gone through the data point, the references that I have on my notes here. So I've gone through all that. And, you know, for Trump back in, a few months ago here in Florida and Orlando at the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee conference at which he spoke, he criticized big data and their censorship and their spying on us. So, I just outlined where he signed S-139. That reauthorized Section 702 of the originally acted part of the FISA Amendments Act, give the legal authority to the NSA to justify its collection of Americans' emails, chat logs, and browsing history without a warrant. Well, there is Donald Trump for you, and the continuity of agenda throughout the various administrations. Of course, I'd like to see a president who gets in and ends the state of national emergency we've been in since 1933. That's explained in Senate Reports 93-549. I mean, that would be one thing for them to get in there, and you know, because every president since then, under various pretexts, every year has reauthorized the state of national emergency under various pretexts at least once per year. And, you know, that's just conditioned us since the banking emergency of 1933 that we've been in since Roosevelt put us there. I'm trying to pull up this Senate Report 93-549. Just read for you the first paragraph or two to show that this shows how we've been conditioned. And it's also pretty well outlined on Dr. Eugene Schroeder's book, which he co-authored, Constitution, Fact or Fiction. Looks like archive.org is down. It's telling me that they're temporarily offline. But I know I've seen it at another good website. Here's the one, freedom-school.com. And it says, as it pulls up, okay, this is 1973, exactly 40 years after the state of national emergency was first declared. Just the first two paragraphs read, at the time of these senatorial discussions, there were four presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency. In addition to the national emergency declared by President Franklin D. Roosevelt on March 6, 1933, Proclamation No. 2039, and continued in force by Proclamation No. 2040, issued on March 9, 1933, there were also the national emergency proclaimed by President Harry S. Truman on December 16, 1950, Proclamation 2914 during the Korean conflict, in the states of national emergency declared by President Richard Nixon on March 23, 1970, Proclamation number 3972, and August 15, 1971, that's Proclamation number 4074. These proclamations give force to over 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the President extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. End quote. So that's how the Constitution has been regarded, without reference to it, without reference to normal constitutional processes, since March 6th of 1933. And
Kenneth Harrelson has been a political prisoner for 552 days. I'm Peter Serafie with today's Liberty Minute. There is now a trial date. On September 27th, the first group of Oath Keepers will be tried by jury. The trial could last months. Disabled American veteran Kenneth Harrelson will have spent 566 days in prison before the first day of his trial. In the meantime, the VA cut the benefits paid to his wife before any trial or conviction. It doesn't matter what you think about the events of January 6th. Your political ideology doesn't matter either. This is wrong. The United States does not hold political prisoners. We have the right to a speedy trial. Our country, our Constitution, does not allow citizens to be treated this way. I do not recognize the republic that I love anymore. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.